Thanks for checking out Podcasts on the Gym. The latest episode of the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn starts now.
Hawkeyes going and getting the job done on the road last night in Ann Arbor. One game left and starting to maybe feel like we could be in for something special here in Eastern Iowa, at least something we haven't seen in a couple decades. Welcome in a Friday edition of the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn. Happy to have you with us, whether you're listening on 1600 AM or one of our FM frequencies in Cedar Rapids. You can find us on 102.3 FM in Iowa City. It's 106.3 FM, also available with the KGYM app. We are wall-to-wall entertainment today. Well, entertainment's always a loaded... I don't know if I can... Can we guarantee people that we will entertain them today, Alex? Is that too loaded of a term?
Never make guarantees, Todd.
By the way, I'm glad you're with me today. I'm sitting here. It's 10 seconds before I turn the microphone on, and I'm thinking, I think I'm forgetting something. What am I forgetting? Oh, yes, my co-host. Don't normally, it's the first thing I do when I walk in the studio, and today it was the last, and it almost bit me in the rear end. I would have went to ask you something, and I would have realized that I didn't have the button pushed. 319-366-1600 is the number to reach us. We have, good God, this is glorious. College basketball wall-to-wall. I've been watching college basketball since about the time I woke up this morning. At least it seems that way. Loyola and Bradley underway at Arch Madness right now with just about 9.5 minutes remaining in the game. Loyola winning 57-36. So the Ramblers look like they will move on. And the Arch Madness bracket, you and I a winner earlier today. So the Panthers continuing their march toward what they hope will be a MVC tournament championship, an automatic bid to the NCAA tournament. We got basketball to look forward to this weekend. Iowa State wrapping up its regular season. But Alex, alas, I got to tell people who we have on the program with us today, because we do have a couple great guests and we may have a third. I don't know whether it's going to work out or not. We've got Mark Lillibridge, the former Iowa State linebacker, set to join us from Indianapolis coming up at the bottom of the hour. Chad Lystico of the Des Moines Register will kick off drive time tonight at 5 o'clock. And then one of the few people that I will allow to book themselves or ask their way onto the program, because we need to say goodbye to a friend of the program. I don't know whether it's going to work out today or not. He's loading up the moving truck and heading south to Fort Myers. But former KCRG anchor Chris Earle is possibly joining us for like 5 or 6 minutes so that he can say goodbye to everybody in Eastern Iowa. We'll see. We're working on, my people are talking with his people. We're trying to nail down a time. So two guests, possibly a third, all before 6 o'clock tonight. 319-366-1600. Alex, let's go ahead and start with last night, though, because Spencer called this one. You and I did not. He gets the credit. We get the blame. Iowa went on the road, not just beat Michigan, handled the Wolverines in their own building. That game was not as close as the final score indicated.
No, it was a complete and utter domination for the Iowa Hawkeyes. And the way that this team is playing right now, there are a lot of possibilities on where they can go. Now, you brought up the elephant in the room when talking about an Iowa basketball team, and that's the Sweet 16. That's the goal, right? But right now, the way they went on the road and they locked in defensively, and the way that some of the secondary scorers are stepping up, and the way that Chris Murray is now threatening to take that big leap forward just in time for the NCAA tournament, I would not want to play this team in March. There are no guarantees. Yeah, I'm not saying that this team will get to a Sweet 16, but if they play their cards right, they will have every chance to beat Illinois on Sunday, and they will have a chance to play into the weekend in the Big Ten tournament and get a double bye for the first time in the Fran McCaffrey era.
I will go so as far as saying that this is a Sweet 16 team at this point. And I know that's going to really upset people that I'm saying that out loud, but I mentioned it as a possibility earlier this week. And after watching them last night, they do remind me, and I said this earlier in the week, they remind me of that team that Dr. Tom Davis took to the Sweet 16 in his final year at the helm, with one notable difference. This team has a legitimate superstar in Keegan Murray. That team that Dr. Tom had in 98-99, it was a good team filled with good players who played good team basketball, got a decent draw in the NCAA tournament, and were able to make it to the Sweet 16, where they ultimately lost to the team that went on to win the championship that year in UConn. This team, I think, can position itself to get a six seed. You get the six seed, all of a sudden you're looking at maybe the number three in the Sweet 16 instead of having to worry about a one or a two. I like Iowa's chances at this point. If everybody stays healthy and they continue playing the type of basketball that they're playing right now, I think it's a possibility. I'm not going to go so far as to guarantee it, but again, you put the season in perspective at the beginning of the season, outside of your most hardcore, ardent Hawkeye fans who think Iowa's going to win a national championship every year. There are people out there in every fan base that feel that way. Most people viewed this as a rebuilding year. Some people had this one written off before it even started. Very little expectation. At the beginning of the season, the question was not whether or not this team was going to make the NCAA tournament. It's going to be whether or not they were going to make the NIT in the eyes of some people. There were just too many question marks. And now we're sitting here watching them demolish Michigan on the road last night. Look at how that second half started. And Michigan tried to get back into that game. And after, 10 minutes, they'd cut Iowa's lead by only 2 points. 3 points, whatever, 17 down to 14, something like that. I mean, that was just an absolute clinic. Jordan Bohannon on fire last night in one of his final regular season games in a Hawkeye uniform. I mean, he was shooting the ball with such confidence, you would have felt he was in Carver Hawkeye Arena, not Chrysler Arena, last night. Those are the type of performances that if you continue to get them down the stretch, this team is primed to play good basketball in the NCAA tournament. And that being said, what's the tournament about, Alex? It's about matchups. If Iowa gets a bad matchup, a bad draw, and I don't know what to make of... So Joe Lunardi and Jerry Palm are both very good at what they do. One of them has Iowa as a 6 seed. One of them has Iowa as an 8 seed. Do we split the difference? Call it a 7. There's a huge difference between this team being a 6 seed and this team being an 8 seed.
Yes, and it's a huge difference. It's whether or not they have a legitimate shot of making a Sweet 16. And the good news is they control that. And I said it before last night, I didn't think they would go on the road and beat Michigan. Well, they did. And now, Todd, what is the number one thing that you hear people talk about when discussing games and betting lines? They talk about the spot that a team is in, revenge spot. They have a double bye in the Big Ten tournament up in the air for them. They lost to Illinois earlier this year, and they're playing a brand of basketball right now that they have to feel very good about the possibility of going in there and not just keeping it close, but finding a way to beat the Illini. Not saying that they will, but as far as matchups go, I love seeing Chris Murray play 27 minutes. There are very few teams that when those two are on the court at the same time are going to be able to contain that offense, because it just opens up the floor for everybody else. When you have to deal with both of them at the same time, then that's when Jordan Bohannon gets open. That's when Connor McCaffrey gets open. That's when other guys get easy looks at the basket And because of that, I think that that small ball lineup, I'm going to get to it during Love It or Leave It, could be the X factor on Iowa and their ability to make history, do something that they haven't done in over two decades this season.
Here's Fran McCaffrey last night talking about Chris Murray's performance, both offensively and defensively.
I think the thing that is important for him and was important tonight, he still had foul trouble, and he really worked, you know, whether he was guarding Dickinson or Diabate, you know, you got to put those guys before they get it. He's moving his feet. He's over toward the ball. He's anticipating action and using his length. So we were able to play him 26 minutes because he wasn't in foul trouble.
And now the question is, can the Hawkeyes beat Illinois Sunday in Champaign to really take some momentum with them into the Big Ten tournament? That's our poll question at KGYMradio.com today, brought to you by Hawkeye Title and Settlement. Steve Anderson and his staff do excellent work and have been doing so since 2003. Make sure you give them a call or consideration for all of your real estate legal paperwork needs. Iowa goes to Champaign, a place that the Hawkeyes have not had a tremendous track record in recent years, although they have won there recently, which is something of a feather in their cap, something that Iowa has really struggled to do. It's a different team than what Iowa just faced in Michigan. You look at Kofi Coburn and Andre Curbelo and everything that the Fighting Illini have, and then you throw and you sprinkle into the mix the fact that these two teams don't really get along, the fact that there's been some hard feelings in recent years, and I feel like you're just set up for an absolute slugfest on Sunday at the State Farm Center.
Iowa lost 87-83 the first time these two teams played. And I got to get the statistic in front of me just so I don't get it wrong. Illinois out-rebounded the Hawkeyes 52-24 in that game. And Iowa lost by four. Illinois is tough. There's no question about that. But there are a few teams that know each other better in this conference than these two teams. And now Illinois is looking at a situation where they're wondering, they may not have a ton of scout on the dynamic when 15 and 24 are on the court at the same time. And that's why I'm talking about this being the X factor for this team, because on the text line, Ed points out, didn't they used to say that if a team had two legitimate NBA prospects, you had a chance to play for a championship? Chris Murray is that type of talent. Whether he's as big of a prospect as his brother, I don't know, but he has NBA skill, and there's going to come a point where these games matter. It's win or go home. And who do you think is going to be on the court in those crucial situations, especially when Iowa needs buckets and defense? Number 24 will be on the court with 15. So this is a completely different Iowa basketball team than played Illinois earlier in the season. It seems like Fran, the coaching staff, and the team have bought in, have found their roles. And Fran's found the roles for everybody, and they're buying in to their roles. So that's what makes them so dangerous. And the kind of a young player who has been brought along slowly all year is about to be unleashed, and all of the training wheels are going to come off of Chris Murray, I think, once these games completely matter.
I'm glad you brought up Ed in Iowa City on the text line, because we promised that we would do this for Ed yesterday, and I just did it. Ed's 1956 Chevrolet 210 is up for the cover of the Snap-on Tools 2023 wall calendar, and you can vote. It's down to him and another car. So if you go to the Snap-on Tools Facebook page, and all you need to do is comment on the photo, Ed's car is the letter B, the 1956 Chevrolet 210. I think he's winning right now. There's 77, and I'm seeing nothing but Bs here so far on my screen. But we want to put Ed over the top. And again, I've promised Ed that if his car does win, then that will be the calendar that we display here in the KGYM studio. And we'll do so proudly. So the Snap-on Tools Facebook page, go vote for Ed's 56 Chevrolet 210 and feel good about yourself helping out a member of our family here. That being said, we officially now have three guests on the program today because he is exiting Eastern Iowa somewhat abruptly, didn't get the farewell tour that he probably deserved. Chris Earle, the former anchor of the KCRG Evening News, will join us tonight at 4:50 on his way to Fort Myers, Florida. He's driving the rental truck. Hopefully he pulls over and does the whole safe driver thing and everything. So he's going to be able to call in. We'll chat with him a little bit, maybe get his thoughts, teams that he likes for the tournament. He may have a soccer pick or something too for you this weekend for you gamblers out there. I know Jim and Kyoto and Ralph and Riverside and everybody that listens to this program trying to make money. Oh, look at the vote. The votes are pouring in. Okay, look at this. It's updating in real time in front of me. All of a sudden, there's just this big, it's not a ballot dump or anything like that, but man, hammered votes, BBBB for Ed's car. So we've got Mark Lillibridge coming up in about 10 minutes. We'll have Chris call in toward the tail end of the 4 o'clock hour, and then Chad Lystico with us at 5 o'clock. We'll even squeeze Love It or Leave It in at some point today. 62-43, by the way, is the score in St. Louis. Loyola, with Sister Jean in attendance, cruising to a victory at the Missouri Valley Tournament. So far, so good. I think the favorites have won every game, right? We haven't seen any upsets there. So correct. We're headed for a good weekend of basketball in St. Louis.
I don't think that we will in the later session either. I think we're going to see a 1-2-3-4 in the semifinal at Arch Madness tomorrow. You and I, the one seed. Loyola, the four seed. We already know that. And I think we'll see Drake and Missouri State in the other semifinal.
All right, Alex is calling his shot here. You know what else Alex is doing? He's bringing you a big board update right now.
All right, well, let's start with the Iowa Hawkeyes continuing to roll as they convincingly went into Ann Arbor and beat the Michigan Wolverines 82-71 last night. Keegan Murray had 23 points, but the two stories from last night, well, there are three if you want to get into all of them. Jordan Bohannon catching fire and making 5 of 7 threes on his way to 19 points. Chris Murray added 19 of his own, and Tony Perkins had 13. For the second time in 3 years, the Hawkeyes will be finishing their regular season in Champaign, Illinois, with a chance at a top four seed and a double bye in the Big Ten tournament next week. That game will get underway at 6:30 p.m. on Sunday evening. The UNI Panthers took care of business in their quarterfinal matchup in St. Louis early this afternoon with a 78-65 win over Illinois State. A.J. Green, Noah Carter, and Trey Burhau all scored double figures in the cause. The semifinals of Arch Madness await the Panthers, and that means a 2:30 p.m. contest tomorrow against the Loyola Ramblers, who won their game against Bradley earlier today, as Todd just mentioned. The second-seeded Iowa women will be in action against seventh-seeded Northwestern after the Wildcats held off Minnesota yesterday. That contest will get underway at 5:30 Central Time and will be televised on the Big Ten Network. The winner will be on to the semifinals tomorrow. The Iowa baseball team was in action this afternoon, taking on Wichita State, and I believe that game has gone final. Wichita State with a 6-4 victory. The Hawkeyes return to action tomorrow against Texas A&M as they're in Frisco, Texas this weekend. And in the girls' state tournament, the Cedar Rapids Xavier outlasted number 1 Dallas Center Grimes 55-50 in a 4A thriller. The Saints will face Sioux City Helan tomorrow afternoon in the 4A championship game. That game will get underway at 2:30. And tonight in Des Moines in a 1A semifinal, we have number 2 Bishop Garrigan against number 6 Northland.
The Iowa women that's an interesting matchup for Lisa Bluter's team tonight. And it clearly helps that Northwestern had to play yesterday. But if you look at the season results, I don't think there's a team in the Big Ten that played Iowa tougher over two games than Northwestern did. The Wildcats beat Iowa 77-69 back on January 6th at Carver-Hawkeye Arena. And then Iowa needed overtime in Evanston on January 28th to get by Northwestern 72-67. So Lisa Bluter and the Hawkeyes could have their hands full with Joel McCown's Wildcats tonight. They will play the winner of the Nebraska, well, assuming they beat Northwestern, of course, they will play the winner of the Nebraska-Michigan contest, and that game that they would be playing would be tomorrow at, I believe, 5 o'clock. Iowa split the season series with the Wolverines, most notably winning 104-80 a couple days ago, February 27th, to clinch the Big Ten title in Iowa City. They did sweep the season series against Nebraska with 95-86 and 93-83 wins earlier this season. So they've got a great track record against the teams that they could be playing today and tomorrow, but they got to get past Northwestern first. 319-366-1600. And again, Loyola up 19 on Bradley with just under 3 minutes to play at the Missouri Valley Tournament. So all systems go there for Loyola, which is likely to get into the NCAA tournament as an at-large team if somebody else wins the conference tournament. If Loyola were to win the conference tournament, we would have to wait and see whether the Missouri Valley would be a one-bid or two-bid league, but likely a one-bid league with Loyola getting the automatic bid. We will wait and see. It's important basketball being played in St. Louis. I was going to transition into a note on Evansville. Evansville losing last night to Valparaiso, and likely to be the last game of the Todd Licklider era at Evansville. There is a strong possibility that he will be stepping aside as Evansville's head coach. 425, we're going to take a break. When we come back, Mark Lillibridge, the former Iowa State Cyclone linebacker, former NFL player, is going to join us from Indianapolis. We'll talk to him about one of the headlines that's rocking the combine today. Tyler Linderbaum's reach. It's scandalous, right, Alex?
Yes, it
just
is.
Just terrible. Oh, my God. His arm length. Let him drop down the draft boards. Can't believe it. Tristan Wirfs, not very athletic. Look what happened with Tristan Wirfs. Mark Lillibridge joining us coming up here in just a few minutes. And then Chris Earle making his way to his new home in Fort Myers, Florida. Going to say goodbye to all of our listeners and his friends here in Eastern Iowa coming up about 10 minutes before 5 o'clock tonight. So we got a lot of ground to cover. And let's hear Fran McCaffrey as we go to break, discussing Iowa's 5 straight wins. You're listening to the Todd Bromelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn on KGYM.
I don't think it's really complicated. You got to compete defensively. You got to compete on the glass. You got to take care of the ball. You got to move the ball and share the ball. Everybody's got to be ready. Whoever you put in is going to be ready to produce. And if they're not scoring, can they affect the game positively in other ways? That's the team we have. And we got a lot of guys doing that. They're really, really supportive of each other.
Eastern Iowa weather on the gym.
From the CBS2 Iowa's News Now with the first forecast. Center and meteorologist Nick Stewart. Rising temperatures after midnight tonight, low near 41, then rising into the 50s by sunrise under mainly cloudy skies. Saturday, periodic showers and thunderstorms throughout the day. A chance for a few strong storms in the late afternoon and evening hours. Highs back in the low 60s. Southwest winds gusting to 40 miles per hour. On Sunday, partly cloudy skies and colder. Highs back in the low 40s. On Monday, light snow and wind shear mix early. Mid-30s out for highs. And that was a check of your Iowa's News Now with the first forecast.
BetMGM welcomes you with a special offer on the NBA. Simply place a $10 moneyline wager on any game. If either team hits a three-pointer, you'll win $200 in free bets. Just use bonus code HANSON200, HANSON200, when you make your first bet. Plus, you'll earn BetMGM rewards points that can be redeemed for online bonuses or converted into comps for rooms, restaurants, and more at over 20 MGM resorts nationwide. BetMGM is proud to be an authorized gaming partner of the NBA. Download the app or go to BetMGM.com and use bonus code HANSON200, Hanson with an O, to win $200 in free bets if a three-pointer is made in the game you wager on. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. New customer offer, 21 years of age or older to wager, Iowa only. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable free bets or site credit. Free bets expire 7 days from issuance. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-BETS-OFF.
When he's good, he's thorough good. When he's bad, he's even better. George Thorogood and the Destroyers. Good to Be Bad Tour. 45 years of rock. May 3rd, the Paramount Theater. Tickets on sale now at creventslive.com. George Thorogood and the Destroyers live.
And at 4:28, welcome back in the Todd Bromelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn, making our way towards 6 o'clock tonight into a very busy weekend. And that includes, at least for me, the Mount Mercy Baseball Leadoff Dinner Sunday night at Vito's on 42nd Street. If you check out Mount Mercy's Twitter handle, the Mount Mercy Baseball Twitter handle, you can see some of the items that they have, both a silent auction and the live auction items that they will be allowing you to bid on Sunday night. One of the items, Alex, really cool. It's an autographed, game-worn Tyler Linderbaum helmet.
Wow.
Can't even put a price tag on that. I have a feeling it's going to go for a lot of money. Looking forward to that event Sunday. If you want more details, shoot me an email, todd@kgymradio.com. I would love to see you on Sunday. Speaking of Tyler Linderbaum, we mentioned that he was making headlines at the Combine earlier today for not great reasons. His reach apparently isn't fantastic. What is it with these guys at the Combine? Don't they watch tape? I mean, you watch Tyler Linderbaum. He's a football player. This guy's a first-round draft pick. Let's get Mark Lillibridge's thoughts on the matter. It's been a while. Mark, I know you joined the program when I was gone. I think Spencer and Alex talked with you, but it's good to chat with you again. Long time no see. How you doing?
Todd, good, buddy. What's up, man? Thank you for having me on.
Yeah, what's going on with Tyler Linderbaum in Indianapolis? Why are they knocking him?
Well, because it's the thing to do right now, right? I mean, there's nothing else to talk about. There's, you know, the Rams are Super Bowl champions, and they're moving on. So they got to. Everybody loves to critique and look at every little thing. Kenny Pickett can't ever play quarterback in the NFL because he's got teeny little hands. And, you know, guys that ran 4.21 yesterday, receivers, are all first-round draft choices. All nine of them that ran under 4.4 are going to be first-round draft choices. That's just this time of year. That's what we do. And Tyler Linderbaum's fine. He's going to be that helmet sweet. Whoever bids on it, good for them, man. That's going to be worth a lot of money someday because he's going to be like Marshall Yanda and end up in the NFL Hall of Fame, probably.
Is he a guy that you still expect to be a mid to late first-round pick?
Yeah, I mean, he's the best center there is. Maybe the best interior guy in the NFL or draft this year. I think the one thing Iowa has done and Kirk Ferentz has done phenomenally is build offensive linemen. And I think that is, it's like Wisconsin and Iowa, you know, 12-year pro. You look at those two programs and sell two programs. For him, next time he does it at his pro day, it'll be 9.5 or 9.75, and everybody's going to say, okay, it's much ado about nothing.
What do you see when you watch this quarterback class? What comes to mind? Is this really as weak as a lot of people are saying?
I feel like we're that every year, right? It's either super strong or you're going to have a week, and then we never really know. Okay, I mean, heck, what, years ago, right? Paxton Lynch was going to be the guy in this draft, and now he's, you know, out of football. Or we love to project, and I think that's been the point of last couple of years, is we put all these guys so high and we push them up, and I think it will happen this year. I really do. I think we're coming into it. I think teams are playing it close to the vest because there's so many really good free agents or quarterbacks that are available to be gotten in via trade or in free agency. You know, the Russell Wilson talk, the Aaron Rodgers talk, Jameis Winston. I mean, there's guys out there that are possibly to get, you know, traded or signed. And everybody saw the success that L.A. had with trading for Matt Stafford. They want a piece of that. And you'd rather have an established guy than a young guy. And so I think as we get closer to the draft every year, there's guys that get pushed up and moved up because it is the most important position in football and maybe in sport. And, I think it's – I really do, and I believe this, and I will always say this, and I always want to put it on record so people can come back and say I'm right or wrong. But I think Matt Corral from Ole Miss is the best quarterback in this draft class. I love a lot of things about Malik Willis from Liberty. But I think, Matt at Ole Miss is just – he's been in a pro offense with Lane Kiffin. He is just a phenomenal leader. If you've ever seen him play live or been around him, he just oozes leadership and just he's just got a coolness to him, kind of like Burrow has. And you're just like, man, that guy, that's the leader of men, and I want him on my team.
David Bell ran a 4.62 40 the other day. I've seen him in person the last couple years when Purdue has played Iowa. This guy is an NFL wide receiver. Again, why do we get so concerned about 40 times with a guy like David Bell who passes the eyeball test? This guy's an NFL player.
Yeah, again, it's like Anquan Boldin, right? I think a lot of guys always go back to comparisons, and we love to do that. I think the way the game has changed and the way that the quarterbacks get the ball out of their hand quickly in the right system, I mean, he's going to be fine. I honestly, somebody go back and tell me what Cooper Kupp ran a 40 in. I don't know if anybody, unless you're just freaky out about it, you love those numbers, it doesn't really matter. I mean, once you get into the league and you make it, produce or don't produce. There's a lot of 4.2 guys that aren't very good in the NFL or never make it in the NFL. You know, we had Jeff Thomas was a speedster out of Miami, okay, right? Didn't make it. We've had last year Des Kilpatrick from Louisville. Everybody talked about, oh, he's going to be so fast, he's going to be so great. Well, didn't make it. You know, years ago, Darius Heyward Bey out of Maryland, super fast, wasn't a great receiver. So I think that's just, you got to have an all-around package. But when it comes down to receiver, catch the ball or don't, right? Give me a first down, and let's move the chains, and he'll be fine.
Mark, we've throughout this season, it's been interesting to follow who has been projected to go number one overall. For a long stretch, it was Kayvon Thibodeau of Oregon. Maybe Aiden Hutchinson got his name in there towards the end of the season. At this point right now, what are the chances that we see an offensive tackle go number one overall?
Yeah, man, it's hard not to take Evan Neal. I would really have a hard time not taking it, with especially with the needs that Jacksonville has, and that they, you know, unless somebody makes a trade up or there's some movement as we go through free agency, you know, he just checks a lot of the things that you want off on the boxes of, you know, just as he's been a championship, he's a leader, he can really move his feet well, he's got great length, drops his hips, can really dig and scoop guys out of the hole in the run game. I just think that it would be really cool for him to go. And, you know, the crazy stat I didn't realize is that I think he'd be the first overall pick Alabama's had since maybe like the 1930s or 40s or something like that. Like, you know, way before even, you know, Joe Willie was drafted by the AFL. That was the last first overall pick. But in the NFL draft, Alabama, with all the stars they have, they've never had a guy go number one overall. And I think this might be the year that is broken.
All right. A lot of times guys will go to the combine, they'll see somebody up close, they sort of fall in love with them, or they make them their guy. Was there one or two players that you saw or heard from in Indianapolis this week that you're going to keep your eye on?
You know what? I haven't done that yet because I got my notes, and I have to watch a lot more film on some of these guys. There's guys that you love on the hoof. There's guys that you think, oh, that guy is, you know, he looks the part. But I never get too high on players because there's still things I have to look for, and there's certain traits and certain positions that I want to do it. So I wouldn't feel confident yet, but give me a month and then call me back. And, you know, by the end of March, I'll have my list ready to roll.
Yeah. How important are, obviously every year the pro day is incredibly important, but we've seen a lot of players go to Indianapolis. Some of them aren't participating in on-field drills. Some of them aren't participating in running and lifting drills. So how big are the pro days going to be this year for a lot of these prospects?
Well, I think we go back here for the last 2 years, right, where we didn't have a lot because of COVID and all the other things that were going on in our country. And I think that's what it goes back to, like where Lindenbaum works. If you're putting so much stock into an all-star game or to a pro day, and that's where you're worried about drafting a player from, you've already done your evaluation wrong, and you're probably not going to be a GM or a scouting department for very long. You know, you can play or you can't play. And so, like, in both your cases with Bell or with Lindenbaum or any of these guys, give me guys that can line up between the hashes and, you know, like a Brock Purdy. Complete the ball, right? He's got one of the best completion percentages in football. That's your job as a quarterback, is get the ball out of your hand, don't take sacks, and move the chains. And so I think that it's been caught up in why the combine is such a huge deal, is people want to use comparisons and want to see, you know, statistics and, oh, this guy had, you know, 34-inch arm, this guy had 33.5. And, you know, when it's all said and done, either you can block the guy in front of you, you can tackle the guy that's got the ball, you can hit the open receiver, you can catch the ball. That's what it really comes down to. And the teams that scout well and scout football players, those are the teams that we consistently see in the playoffs year after year. And that's like the Steelers, the Ravens, right, the Packers. I mean, I'm just naming off a couple that are consistently playoff teams because their scouting department is depth. They have a vision. They know what they're going to do, and they execute it every year.
What would you do if you were Jacksonville with the number one pick?
You know, you got your quarterback of the future. Trevor Lawrence is going to be and is the real deal. I think all that adversity and the show that was Urban Meyer was a joke last year, and that's Shad Khan's fault, right? As the general manager, I mean, as owner, and Trent Baalke is the general manager. I mean, they have to change that. They did by getting Doug Peterson. He's a proven winning coach, and I think he's going to be great as a former NFL quarterback. He's going to be great for Trevor Lawrence. I think they need to solidify that and protect him. Like we saw with Cincinnati this year, right? They have a legitimate quarterback in Joe Burrow, but their offensive line, they just don't have enough guys that could protect him. 19 sacks in the playoffs, that's too much. So I think if you're Jacksonville and you want to replicate that, I think you have to go offensive line. I think you have to go Evan Neal. And then, you know, unless, of course, you get a crazy, crazy bounty for somebody to move up to get that first pick, I think that has to be the draft choice.
When you look at all these situations, as you mentioned Jacksonville, then you brought up Cincinnati. You can throw you can throw other teams in there, Philadelphia, the Miami Dolphins, so many teams, Arizona, obviously, with the Kyler Murray situation, they need offensive line help. So many teams this year seemingly have a franchise quarterback that they're trying to protect. Is there enough offensive line talent up there in that first round area to satisfy the needs of some of these teams?
No, there isn't. I think that's why you're going to see a ton of offensive linemen in free agency get paid. Guys that maybe weren't, you would have thought 3 or 4 years ago, you know, maybe were mid-tier, midline starters. You know, where you get paid, I think that is going to be the run in free agency. It's going to be offensive linemen. And I think you're going to see that from so many of those teams where there's some guys that maybe you would say, okay, maybe you don't even know them, right? Offensive lineman is a very, you know, it's not a sexy position by any means, but there's going to be some guys making big cash this year that play that position because I think teams now realize how vital it is, especially when you have a young signal caller.
Mark, we appreciate the time as always. Always look forward to talking with you here on the station. Don't be a stranger.
All right. God bless, guys. Thanks for having me. And let's enjoy this football while we got it, man. It never stops.
All right. Mark Lillibridge, the former Cyclone and NFL player, joining us from Indianapolis where the combine rolls on. And Alex, interestingly enough here, that 4.62 40 time for David Bell. You know who else ran a 4.62 at the combine? Cooper Kupp.
Larry. Oh, yeah, I was going to say.
Cooper Kupp. It's almost like these guys that run football teams, they don't watch football. They're trying to convince themselves of why they want to take somebody else over another player, and so they're just talking themselves in circles on guys. I guarantee you the team that drafts David Bell is not going to lose any sleep about a 4.62 40 time.
No, they will not. No, this happens every year, and I saw the Tyler Linderbaum measurables come across the ticker today, and I think that overall it will be a good thing, and I will discuss it during Love It or Leave It. But yeah, these NFL scouts, some of them, the thing about the scouting department is there are thousands of them, and they're all the smartest people in the world. Just ask them. So yeah, their heads sometimes are spinning when they're doing all these scouting reports. They're watching the film, and then they see somebody at the combine, and they don't have the numbers that they had hoped, and then they don't draft them. Then they draft somebody else, and there's a lot of times on day one or two of training camp where the scouting department will either watch a player and say, oh, yeah, I think we did pretty well, or uh-oh, we missed on that one, even first-round draft picks. So it's a very inexact science, and I think it's come a long way. You see teams drafting quarterbacks in all shapes and sizes that you wouldn't have seen 15, 20 years ago. They're coming around, but progress, as in many things in life, is very slow.
4:46, we're going to take just a 60-second break. When we come back, Chris Earle going to join us here on KGYM to say his much-anticipated goodbyes to Eastern Iowa. Back with more after this.
Easily transform and organize your home with attractive storage from Dakota right now at Menards. Looking to add a touch of color or blend seamlessly with your decor? Dakota shelving comes in multiple sizes and finishes to match your style. Save 11% on all Dakota shelving. Get 11% off everything now at Menards. Good through March 5th. Savings are mail-in rebates. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Save big money at Menards.
Emil's Hideaway is open. Stop in for a drink with your buddies for dine-in or carry-out food and drinks. Open daily at 4. Delivery is available at emilshideaway.com. Emil's Hideaway, a great place to meet up with friends.
You could win $500 in the IMON Communications KGYM Bracket Challenge. Get details now at kgymradio.com. IMON Communications, your local choice for internet, cable TV, and phone.
And you will need the password for that when it is time to go. The password, all capital letters, is MADNESS. Somebody's going to win $500 this year with us. And I'm on communications. Of course, we've got to wait another week or so before the brackets are revealed. In the meantime, let's just bask in the glory of college basketball tournaments wall to wall. We got the Missouri Valley tourney going on. Loyola, by the way, did win that game over Bradley, so the Ramblers moving on. You and I winning earlier today, and plenty of basketball left to be played elsewhere today as well. Okay, so here's the deal. I have a pet peeve. Alex knows this. Alex also shares this pet peeve, at least I believe. Guests inviting themselves onto the program. Not a huge fan of it. I have a very short list of people that I will give a sponsor's exemption to, or like on the PGA Tour. Our next guest is one of them. So when he reached out to me today from the Ryder truck or the Penske, I think it's a Penske truck that he's driving south now to Fort Myers, Florida, and said, hey, can I come on and say goodbye to everybody? I got no issues with Chris Earle joining us for a few minutes here as he makes his way to the Sunshine State. He is now officially Florida man, Chris Earle. What's up, my friend? How are you?
Hey, what's going on, Todd? What's up, Alex? Yeah, I'm officially a Florida guy. So I'm walking out of a Target yesterday, and I couldn't find my car. I forgot where I parked. So that means I'm officially a Florida guy once I've done that.
Why are you leaving us, Chris? Why are you? Well, no, everybody knows. It's the circle of life. We develop these TV anchors and sports, and then we send them to Florida.
Well, I often say that anchoring news, it's like coaching football or basketball. You know, sometimes opportunities come up, and it's hard to say no to something like that. And I think for a lot of people, the pandemic, I think, made a lot of people kind of reassess and say, well, you know, where would I like to live in 5 years, 10 years, 20 years? And, you know, my daughter and I, we like to hike, so we like mountains, but everybody also likes the beach. And, you know, where I'm at, I'm 22 minutes from my house in Cape Coral to Fort Myers Beach. That's not a bad life. Now, I'm not going to be at the beach all the time. I'm going to be working my tail off at this job doing evening anchor at Fox 4 in Fort Myers and Cape Coral. Excited for this, but I want to see if I can play at this level, too. It is a growing market. It is substantially larger, and it's one of those that I often compare this to, you know, when you're coaching and then you get an opportunity like this, like even like you're coaching college. It's hard to say no to, and you want to give it a shot, and you want to just see.
Chris, what are you going to miss the most about Cedar Rapids?
Working with Beth Malicki. I absolutely, truly, sincerely say she's the Magic Johnson of anchoring. She makes everybody on the floor better. She was awesome to work with. And I love being able to feel like I had an impact on people. People on Twitter have been really kind. And you know how nasty of a place Twitter can be. Since I put this out a couple weeks ago saying I was heading off to Fort Myers. And people have been so wonderful. I've been picking up my dollar gas station pizza at Hy-Vee on Edgewood on Wednesdays, ducking into Quick Star way too often for my juicy peach brisk tea Diet Mountain Dew concoction. And just around town, people have been wonderful. And I know the media takes a lot of hits. A lot of it's justified. A lot of it's self-inflicted. But I really like to think that we can also have a positive impact on people's lives. And we're recording daily history here. And we're not perfect at it, you know, regardless of whether my old station or whether the place I'm going to. But just know we're always trying, and we're always trying to get an accurate snapshot of what's out there.
Chris Earle joining us to say goodbye to folks in Eastern Iowa. Bruce Auney got like an eight-month goodbye tour, and you're getting 8 minutes with us on the airwaves. I don't think that seems very fair, but...
it's fine. Sometimes you get to coach the bowl game, sometimes you don't, and that's fine. You know, it's all part of it. But there is one thing though that's near and dear to both of our hearts, Todd. Man, that DraftKings account going dormant. Ugh.
Well. Ugh. Okay. So, but you know what? You're moving to a state that doesn't have state income tax. So
that's true too. So I won't be paying the juice there. Now you're right about that. So.
That's better than any parlay you could put together. So we got the NCAA tournament coming up. Who you like?
You know, I need to study this, and you know how I'm going to study this because I don't work at the new station until March the 14th. So what I'll be doing is now I my daughter had one stipulation because we've got a rental house in Cape Coral, and she said, "Can we have a pool?" And I said, "Okay, we'll make that happen." So once we get these conference tournaments, I think I'll have everything kind of settled in by Tuesday or Wednesday. I'm totally going to be wheeling out the TV, firing up the ESPN Plus, treading water, and watching games at like noon and 1 o'clock. And I will be obnoxious about it for the first few days and sending out a picture to it. So I might be watching like some Belmont and Ohio Valley game for all I know. But I'll be all over it, Todd. It'll be fun.
Yeah, I don't know if you remember this or not, but I had COVID last year during the NCAA tournament, the first week.
Yes.
And everybody always makes that joke about it's a perfect time to get a vasectomy because you get to sit home for 2 days and wonder, hey, best time to have COVID, first week of the NCAA tournament. I was sequestered upstairs. No one could take the TV remote away from me. Basketball, wall to wall. So,
yeah, I remember. There's also going to be other parts of it that I think are going to be a lot of fun. What I've learned over the past 3 weeks, guys, is that everybody has an uncle or a grandmother or an aunt who lives in Southwest Florida. I've been walking I haven't been with too many nights there so far in Cape Coral. This is the third trip I'm driving down there because I've already dropped two cars off and have flown back. I was on the 8 a.m. Allegiant flight out of Punta Gorda today, landing back at 10 o'clock. Packed up a Penske truck for 4 hours, and I'm back to driving. How many people I came across on the beach the few days I've been down there who are from Iowa? It's really something, Todd.
Oh, yeah, you can't go to anywhere in this. Florida and Arizona, it's the two places where you're going to run into somebody from Iowa. Well, yeah. I don't want to scare you too much, but I'm doing the Mount Mercy Baseball Leadoff Dinner on Sunday, and one of the live auction items is a week-long vacation in Fort Myers. So if you happen to have a knock on the door and you look out the peephole and you see me, don't be too surprised there. I may come down and see you in the Sunshine State.
I could probably use somebody to clean out the pool, so that'd be great.
Pool boy.
That would be pretty wonderful.
All seriousness, Todd,
a hearty thank you to all the 1600 KGYM listeners, you, Dukes, everybody else who's been there, because it's always been like a wonderful home for me to be able to listen to. When the Royals were good, you guys let me go on my rants and all of my stressed out moments, and then you had your moment with the Cubs the following year. And as a news anchor who used to do sports and still kind of would fill in here and there, I always appreciate where you guys came from. So much gratitude to you and all the 1600 listeners, Todd.
Let me run the numbers on what it would pay to be your pool boy with no state income tax against what I make here. And if the numbers work out, maybe you got yourself a cabana boy down there. Chris, we appreciate it. Drive safe. Those Penske trucks don't handle too well in the high winds. And don't forget the sunscreen, okay?
Well, the sunscreen I've already got, and I'm already drafting behind a Heartland Express truck, so I'm fine. Keep an eye on those Belgian Liga and Mexican Liga totals for me, and I will see you down the road.
You know, it's great. Now that I go into the Mexican restaurant to pick up my to-go every once in a while, and I look up at the TV, I recognize the teams that are on there. It's kind of sad now. Chris, we'll talk to you.
You got that Necaxa Club America game at 9 o'clock? Oh, yeah, absolutely.
hey, it's Juarez. Okay, Chris, that's it. We got to go. Appreciate you calling in and getting a chance to say goodbye to everybody.
Absolutely. Take care.
That is Chris Earle, the former anchor for the TV9 News. saying nice things about Beth Malicki. I thought for sure, Alex, he was going to say what everybody says, your favorite thing about Cedar Rapids. It smells like crunch berries when it's crunch berry day. But he went with saying nice things about his former coworker.
Yep. And it wasn't to that question, but he did slip in a gas station pizza reference.
Yep.
So he's really paying his respects to now his former home.
And that's something I learned from the sports world is when you're looking at, well, why would this free agent go to this team or whatever? Who would want to play for them? You look at things like that. Florida doesn't have a state income tax. So if you're getting paid X number of dollars in Florida versus X number of dollars in New York or Iowa, it's all going to be different because of the taxes. So Florida, not too shabby there, especially if you're making a decent amount of money like those TV guys are. Chris has a face for TV. I have a face for radio. That's where I'm at. I can fish stuff out of the... I can work a net, fish stuff out of the pool if the pay is good enough. 457, kind of a impromptu goodbye for Chris Earle there, but he wanted to make sure that everybody in Eastern Iowa knew how much he appreciated his time here, and he won't say it. I'm sure he'll be watching the Wisconsin Badgers in the NCAA tournament coming up next week. How about the Hawkeyes in the tournament? They got one more game to go before the Big Ten tournament. That's Sunday at Illinois. We'll ask Chad Lystico of the Des Moines Register about the Hawkeyes' chances when we return after this.
You're the one everyone looks to for answers. Come rain or shine, the job must get done. And you're the one who makes it happen. We get you, Jackie in Fresno, putting your employee safety first. And Manny in Chattanooga, whose local Granger team knows him by name. We're here for you and all the ones who get it done with 24/7 customer support and access to product specialists to help you find what you need. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
This is a metaphor for your business's journey. Sometimes it feels like the course keeps changing right before your eyes. And in order to maneuver it, you need an expert by your side. That's what Dell Technologies Advisors do. They have the Windows PC and tech solutions you need to help you get out in front and stay ahead of the game. Call an advisor today at 877-ASK-DELL. That's 877-ASK-DELL. A start to a simpler experience with Windows 11 Pro.
CSX, a growing Fortune 500 logistics company, has immediate openings for freight train conductors. If you're looking for a rewarding career offering paid training at nearly $25 per hour, competitive benefits, and you share a passion for great service, apply today at csx.com/careers. That's csx.com/careers. CSX, committed to supporting military and veteran families and their communities. CSX is an equal opportunity employer.
Vivid Seats, your ticket to hold on to your hat, edge of seat sitting, bases loaded, two outs, half court buzzer beating, 60-yard Hail Marys. Hear that pin dropping? Can they do it? They did. For your team, it was nothing. Get tickets and earn rewards with Vivid Seats. Life happens live.
This is KGYN Cedar Rapids, sports radio on 1600 AM and 102.3 FM. The Gym.
This is SportsCenter.
I'm Doug Brown. ESPN's Adam Schefter reports the Cowboys are likely to cut wideout Amari Cooper before March 20th. The Cowboys are projected to be more than $21 million over the salary cap. ESPN's Jordan Renan reports the Giants have strong interest in keeping wideout Sterling Shepard on a reworked contract. Shepard is coming back from a torn Achilles and should be cleared from rehab by early summer. Defensive lineman Aaron Donald of the Super Bowl champion Rams would like to keep playing, but probably with a new contract. ESPN's Dan Graziano says Donald has 3 years left on his current deal.
When he signed that contract, he was the highest paid defensive player in the league. He no longer is. He feels like he should be. He's probably right, and the Rams probably agree with him. So they're willing to talk and see what they can do to keep him happy, even if that means doing a new deal.
Baseball players and owners are setting up funds to help stadium workers and others affected by canceled games during the upcoming season. The Major League lockout is now in its 93rd day.
ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Progressive makes bundling easy and affordable. Get a multi-policy discount by combining your car, home, motorcycle, commercial auto, and more. All your protection in one place. Bundle and save at Progressive.com.
And ESPN Radio Extra Point. With Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max.
I just think this whole thing is a disaster. And I'm not even a diehard baseball fan. Like, I got a chance to meet Steve Cohen. I like the Mets to a degree, right? Like, watching them understand what they're doing. But for me, on the outside looking in at this whole thing, even if you just look at the way this whole thing started, right? And I wrote it down. The league wanted 3 months to counter the union's first core economics proposal. They waited 3 months. Then 6 weeks later, they circled back after imposing a lock. The precedent has already been set on how they came to the negotiation table. And I think for Rob Manfred, whether there were pictures of him working on his golf swing yesterday, or even the same guy that called like the World Series trophy a piece of metal, like at press conferences, smiling at the fact that they're going into this lock. I don't understand it.
Hello, this is Discover. And we take customer service very seriously. We know that if you have a question or concern about your credit card, that's a serious matter, and you need to talk to a real person about it. So we offer around-the-clock access to seriously talented representatives in the USA. Again, it's a serious endeavor. The only funny thing about it is Bob. If you call us and Bob answers, you're in for a treat. Get 100% U.S.-based customer service and talk to a real person day or night. Discover. Exceptionally common sense.
Bundling car and renter's insurance with GEICO is so easy, your neighbors are probably already doing it. So why not ask? Just say,
"Hey, did you get your hair cut? It looks cool. Also, have you saved even more by bundling with GEICO?"
Or maybe,
"Hey, did you get your hair cut? It looks weird. Not weird, cool. Anyway, have you bundled with GEICO?"
Or try,
"Hey, did you get your hair cut? It doesn't look weird at all. Anywho, have you saved by bundling with..." Hey, easy with that rake.
Bundling is easy with GEICO. Just ask your neighbors.
Confidence individually in each guy by not micromanaging their game. You should have drove it. You should have shot it. You should have passed it. You know, you should have doubled. Why didn't you double? Why didn't you drive it? You know, it's like, I want you to think for yourself if you're playing for me. Think for yourself. Go make a play. I don't expect perfection. It's not a game of perfect. So if you make a mistake, run back, guard your man, don't let him score. It's no more complicated than that.
The 5 o'clock hour on the Todd Brolecamp Show with Alex Kuhn is Drive Time, brought to you by Linder Tire. Make your next appointment for service online at lindertire.com. You can find them in Iowa City, North Liberty, and Grinnell. That was Fran McCaffrey after Iowa's victory over Michigan last night in Ann Arbor. Hawkeyes now head to Champaign, which has traditionally been a house of horrors for the Hawkeyes, regardless of the talent level on the roster or who the coach was. But can they turn that around on Sunday and end the regular season with another victory before the Big Ten tournament? And just exactly how far can this team go in the NCAA tournament? We'll ask that and more of our next guest, who's joining us now, frequent contributor to the program, Iowa City native Chad Lystico. Chad, how are you doing tonight?
I'm very good. Getting ready for the Iowa women's game. Got the grill fired up tonight, so... it's going to be a good night, and then I head to Lincoln first thing in the morning.
That could be a little bit of a tough out for the Iowa women. Northwestern's played them pretty good this year.
Yeah, and I even saw I was, quote-unquote, only a 7.5-point favorite, so that sounds like a dangerous game. It always is against the Cats and the Hawks. I mean, Bleeder basically said they need this one to clinch a hosting spot. So it's a really big one tonight. It's really the biggest one of the whole weekend, to be honest, because if they get that top four seed in the NCAA, that's really the main goal here.
Speaking of a top four seed, Iowa has a chance to get it in the Big Ten tournament, like the women, if they go on the road on Sunday to and beat Illinois. What stood out to you the most about last night's impressive and convincing victory in Ann Arbor?
Yeah, I think that was just it, Alex. Iowa never trailed. You go on the road to the Chrysler Center in a really, really big game for the Wolverines, and you never let them lead once. In fact, You know, just every single time it seemed like Michigan made a little push, the Hawkeyes had an answer, whether it was Jordan Bohannon or Chris Murray, or of course, Keegan Murray. Tony Perkins had a really nice game. You know, just a team effort, and that's kind of been the theme, really, of this last month, where Iowa's gone 8-1 with 8 double-digit victories. You know, everyone can have fun with the net and the quad one wins, but these, you know, I think it's a good reflection of how dominant this Iowa team has been of late. 19 double-digit wins now out of 22. Already a 22-win season for the Hawkeyes.
You mentioned Tony Perkins, Chris Murray. Out of all the guys that have played sort of second or third tier roles on this team this year, which one has surprised you the most here in the final 2 or 3 weeks of the season? Pleasantly surprised,
cool,
I should say.
It has to be Perkins, right? I mean, this is the guy that, you know, really was a bit player for the most part. You know, did some nice things here and there, but the move to Jordan Bohannon at the points, you know, gave Fran McCaffrey a bit of a quandary there. Who else do you start at guard? You know, pushes Toussaint to the bench, elevates Perkins. And then really the first couple of games that Perkins was in the starting lineup, he didn't do much at all, played really limited minutes. But he's really come on of late. So, I mean, that game at Nebraska was something else. And last night just kind of kept contributing. Just a bucket here, a bucket there, and all of a sudden he's in double figures again. And, man, that's just so huge for this Iowa team to have multiple options on the court to score at any one time. I mean, it's just – that's what's kind of keeping Keegan free. We saw, you know, a brief stretch or two this season – where Iowa wasn't getting anything from secondary guys, that's when Keegan struggled. But when he's got the support he needs, you know, he takes off as well. So it's really humming right now for the Hawks.
Yeah, Iowa is 8-1 with Jordan Bohannon at the point and Tony Perkins to get into that starting lineup. We've discussed what Bohannon brings from that point guard position, but what does Tony Perkins bring to this starting lineup?
Well, what I like about it is just that this is a guy that's a willing defender. He doesn't care if he scores 20 points or 2 points. I mean, he's a guy that's going to scrap and grind. And I think you could say the same now for Philip Rabracha, which is quite a feather in Fran McCaffrey's coaching cap, really, I would say, to get, you know, Rabracha, a 16-point-a-game scorer in the Summit League, a guy that he talked about bringing here for his offense. And he's kind of become a rebounder and role player on this team. And they've bought into those roles. And I think that's kind of where Perkins is as well.
Chad Lice.
Line. Same with Euless, same with Toussaint. They've all kind of bought their roles. Of course, Connor McCaffrey, obviously is the epitome of a role player. It just does everything. So it's crazy how it's all come together, really. Because a team of so many unknowns, and now you kind of feel like, yeah, everybody's got their role, and you don't know who's going to go, you know, have a big game each night, and that's kind of a good feeling to know. It doesn't have to be that Garza and Wieskamp are on. I mean, you know, you can have, you know, any number of guys kind of pitching in, and certainly Chris Murray is taking off as well.
Chad Leistico with us of the Des Moines Register. The Hawkeye is getting ready to close out the regular season this weekend in Champaign. You heard me mention it, Chad. It's not been a place where Iowa has had a great deal of success over the last couple decades or so. What's the forecast this weekend as they go up against Kofi Coburn and the rest of the Fighting Illini?
Well, I'm sure the Hawkeyes are going to be really confident right now. They're playing with such confidence. You know, don't forget when Iowa lost in Carver to Illinois, that was in that three-game stretch where Keegan Murray had that sprained ankles. You know, it was a major injury. He played in that game, and I think he put up pretty decent numbers, but he wasn't himself, if you recall. So I think it'll be different, and I think the way Iowa's defending the post is different. One thing I pointed out to a friend of mine who was asking me about that, and I was like, you know, these guards, these waves of guards that they throw out there, Toussaint, Euless, Perkins, they got fouls to give. So they're going into the post and they're slapping for the ball. And if they foul, they foul. And that kind of takes the pressure off of Keegan and Chris, you know, with their foul trouble. And so I think that double teaming of the post is really helping out. So maybe we'll see a different tune here at Illinois. But you're right. I can't think of too many wins since 1987. That one sticks out to me vividly as a kid when I was 13 years old watching that game. Ever since, I'm thinking of Andy Kaufman. I'm thinking of lots of bad stuff over there.
You think we're going to see more of Keegan and Chris on the floor together against Illinois? Because it's a matchup that very few teams in the country want to face. And you would think with Illinois' big line, trying to get Kofi Coburn away from the basket, maybe in foul trouble, maybe a little tired, maybe it would be effective.
Yeah, I mean, of course, it'll be Chris off the bench again. And I continue to say that's a smart way to use him because – let's say you wear down Kofi for 6-7 minutes with Rabracha out there. Well, now here comes Chris Murray, fresh off the bench. So I really like how they're using him, and it's you've seen it. Keegan and Chris are usually on the floor at the end of games for the Hawkeyes, and that's another thing with Rabracha. He seems to be willing and able to accept that, and it's really been Iowa's best lineup, frankly. When down the stretch. You've got a fresh Keegan or fresh Chris Murray. You've got Keegan Murray who never seems to tire. You've got Bohannon, and then one of the McCaffreys, and usually one of the quick guards, and that's been working out really well for the Hawkeyes. It's really Bohannon, Murray, and Nixon, everyone else.
Chad, what's the latest seeding scenario at the Big Ten tournament for the Hawkeyes? I know that Rutgers win against Indiana didn't help them this week. They're looking at the 4 and the 5. Obviously, there's a huge difference between those two seeds.
Yeah, and the 6 is certainly in play as well. So 4, 5, or 6, the way they get the 4 is win, or they would have to have Rutgers lose at home to Penn State and Ohio State lose at home to Michigan. So pretty unlikely that all three of those things happen. That's all road teams. That's if Iowa loses. And then, of course, if the Hawkeyes lose, a loss by Ohio State and Iowa is a 5, a loss by Rutgers and Iowa, a loss or a win by Rutgers and win by Ohio State, then Iowa goes down to the 6. So not really looking forward to that late 6 game. Seems like that's been a regular spot of late. But we'll see. We'll see. I'm not going to put a win past the Hawks the way they're playing right now.
Yeah, and of course, the seeding come the NCAA tournament and Selection Sunday is obviously going to be the most important thing for this team. And a lot has been made about the difference between a 6 and a 7 seed and your chances, if you're Iowa, of getting to the Sweet 16. How much do you think an Illinois victory would help their cause of moving up a seed line, maybe to get into that 6 spot?
I think they might be at the 6 now. We'll see. Certainly a win over Illinois puts you at 4th in the Big Ten standings. And when the committee's looking at the Big Ten and they see, a team that's, let's say they see a team that's won 9 of its last 10 games in the regular season and, has this really high net and posting quad 1 wins now that they never had before. I think that you look at this team, it's like, they might be the hottest team in the Big Ten. And, is that really, are they going to knock them down to a 7 just because, they have 3 quad 1 wins instead of, 6 or 7 like someone else? I don't think so. So I think a win on Sunday, and you're talking about a 5, really. That's how I'm looking at it. But it will be interesting to see what the NCAA committee does with Iowa and with Iowa State. They're just both such unique resumes. It's going to be fascinating, but we got a little ways to go before we get to that point.
I've said this a couple days ago, Chad. I'm starting to get Sweet 16 vibes from this team. They remind me a little bit of Dr. Tom's last team in Iowa, the last team to make it to the Sweet 16, with one notable difference. This team has a superstar in Keegan Murray.
Yeah.
That 98-99 team didn't. I know we're getting out ahead of our skis here, so to speak, but are you with me? Are you sort of feeling that this team is playing its best basketball right now and is capable of going on a little bit of a run here?
Yeah, definitely capable. I think when you look at the only games Iowa's really struggled in are when either Keegan Murray's been hurt in foul trouble or the other team has a gigantic center. So Iowa matches up really well with just about anybody, and there's not going to be many teams out there that can throw, a Purdue front line or an Illinois front line at the Hawkeyes in the NCAA. Now, maybe they'll run into a bad draw. But I'm with you. And if I recall, wasn't the 99 team also in that five seed range? I think they were. I think it was either a 4 or 5. I can't remember. But they were in a 4 or 5 game. I know that. I think if Iowa can get to a 5 or 6 seed, a 6 would be great. It opens up their chances. And how about this? If Iowa could be in the Midwest region, let's say Midwest 6 region, that regional is in Chicago. How about that, Sweet 16? If I was in Chicago, in the second weekend of the NCAA tournament, I mean, that's going to be packed with Hawkeye fans.
Chad, you reported yesterday that Patrick McCaffrey, that seemed like that injury that he sustained, they're being cautious with him, not said to be severe. Well, he played last night. He played 18 minutes. What do we know about how he's feeling at this point of the season?
Yeah, I don't know. Kennington covered the game for us up there last night. I think they just went. I think they just felt better with Connor out there, frankly, at the end of the game last night, the way he was moving the ball. And did you notice something that Michigan was pressing out on Connor as a 3-point shooter last night? So that is, the scouting report is out on him. He only took one shot, but that's opening up stuff for everyone else. I mean, that's a huge deal. I mean, I really think that was one of the big reasons Chris Murray was able to explode. You know, he had a little bit more room. Same with Tony Perkins. So the emergence of Connor has really, helped Iowa be patient with Patrick in this situation. And that's kind of what Fran said. We don't want to linger. So you hope that, it's not too serious. We don't know, specifically, but obviously, playing 4 games in 4 days next week, for example, probably isn't the greatest thing for a hip injury. So hopefully he's all better, by the end of this weekend, but we just, we're not going to know that for sure.
Chad, other than Iowa, give me one Big Ten team you think is capable of winning the Big Ten tournament.
Well, this might be a lame answer, but, you look at Purdue, they've lost 4 buzzer beaters on 3-point shots. A lot of them, like, fluky 3-point shots, of their 6 Big Ten losses or whatever it is. So, that's still a really good team. As far as, like dark horse team, Michigan State just looks so bad right now. It's like you can't – but they got Izzo. So you think, can they make a run? It's probably one of those types of teams where they just kind of don't look like they have it right now, and then all of a sudden they win, 3 games to get to the finals. Kind of like Iowa, in 2001, right? They were kind of fumbling down the stretch with it. Is that the right – am I thinking of the right year?
I think so. I don't have the media guide in front of me, and I don't have the memory of most of the other guys.
They won the Big Ten tournament with Brody Boyd and everything. But even that next year, what was it, with Luke Recker, they were really flailing down the stretch, and they made the Big Ten finals. So, teams can get hot. So,
all right, so what's going on the grill tonight when you're enjoying Caitlin Clark and the rest of the Iowa women?
Yeah. I got a big ribeye, so wife and I are splitting that. Boneless chicken thighs for the kids. They're not as much beef eaters yet, so we go a little mild with them with the chicken.
All right, I won't hold splitting a ribeye against you, Chad. We appreciate
it.
I hope it's
trying to be smart.
Okay, I'm hoping it's a huge ribeye if you're splitting it. You've seen me devour a ribeye or two on the road back in the day, so. We appreciate the time, as always. Enjoy the game tonight.
All right, thanks, Todd.
That's Chad Leistico of the Des Moines Register, and you can read his work at hawkcentral.com, along with the rest of his colleagues, including Kennington Smith, who the next time that he joins us on the program, we learned a little something about Kenny on Twitter last night, courtesy of David Eicholt of 24/7 Sports. Kenny apparently does not consume caffeine, Alex. And I think he may be the first person in this line of work that I've ever met who doesn't consume caffeine. So I've got to get to the bottom of this. I got to figure out what fuel. He says vibes fuel him, not caffeine. Me, I'm staring at the can of Monster right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can't relate. I can't say that I relate, Kenny.
Let's take a look at what's going on in the college basketball world right now. We got the Citadel and East Tennessee State knotted up at 55 apiece with 10 minutes left to go. Ball State and Western Michigan in the MAC. That's a regular season game in the MAC. Ball State on top of Western Michigan, 17-15. Kent State is beating Buffalo 21-13. And Winthrop on top of High Point, 13-7 with about 11, 12 minutes to go in the first half, that game being played in Charlotte, North Carolina. As we mentioned, Loyola beating Bradley 66-50 earlier today in St. Louis. How about you and I and Illinois State? Alex has that and more for you right now on a Big Board Update.
Let's start with the Iowa Hawkeyes, who continue to roll as they convincingly went into Ann Arbor and beat the Michigan Wolverines 82-71 last night. Keegan Murray had 23 points, but the three stories from last night besides Keegan Murray were Jordan Bohannon catching fire and making 5 of 7 threes on his way to 19 points. Chris Murray adding 19 points of his own in 27 minutes off the bench, and Tony Perkins with 13 points to lead the Hawkeyes to the victory. For the second time in 3 years, Iowa will be finishing their regular season in Champaign, Illinois, with a chance to be a top 4 seed in the Big Ten tournament next week. The Hawkeyes and Illini will tip things off on Sunday at 6:30 p.m. The UNI Panthers took care of business in their quarterfinal matchup in St. Louis early this afternoon with a 78-65 win over Illinois State. A.J. Green, Noah Carter, and Trey Burhow all scored double figures in the cause. The semifinals of the Arch Madness await the Panthers, and that means a third date with Loyola, and that will come tomorrow at the Enterprise Center at 2:30 p.m. The second-seeded Iowa women will be in action against seventh-seeded Northwestern as the Wildcats held off Minnesota yesterday. That contest will get underway in just a few minutes and will be televised on the Big Ten Network. The winner will be on to the semifinals tomorrow. The Iowa baseball team was in action in Frisco, Texas earlier, taking on Wichita State, and the Shockers defeated the Hawkeyes 6-4. Iowa gets Texas A&M in Frisco tomorrow. And in the girls' state tournament, a Class 4A semifinal matchup last night, Cedar Rapids Xavier outlast Dallas Center Grime 55-50. I believe that was in a triple overtime thriller. The Saints will face Sioux City Helan for the 4A championship tomorrow at 2:30. And this afternoon in Des Moines, it was a 1A semifinal. It's a 1A semifinal, Bishop Garrigan and North Lynn. I will get you a score update on that when one becomes available.
All right, the Valley game up next in St. Louis. Valparaiso and Missouri State. Missouri State, a 10.5-point favorite in that contest. It should be some good basketball for those Panther and Bulldog fans that are making their trip to St. Louis this weekend. We will take a quick break when we come back. It's Friday. We're heading into the weekend. Can't do that without a little Love It or Leave It. Back with more after this.
Eastern Iowa weather on the gym.
From the CBS2 Iowa's News Now with the first forecast. Center and meteorologist Nick Stewart. Rising temperatures after midnight tonight, low near 41, then rising into the 50s by sunrise under mainly cloudy skies. Saturday, periodic showers and thunderstorms throughout the day. A chance for a few strong storms in the late afternoon and evening hours. Highs back in the low 60s. Southwest winds gusting to 40 miles per hour. On Sunday, partly cloudy skies and colder. Highs back in the low 40s. On Monday, light snow and wintry mix early. Mid-30s out for highs. And that was a check of your Iowa's News Now with the first forecast.
BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks, unleashes the spirit of Las Vegas with BetMGM Rewards. Every time you make a wager at BetMGM, you can earn BetMGM Rewards points that you can redeem for online bonus credits like free bets and risk-free tokens. Planning a trip to Vegas? You can also convert your BetMGM points into MGM Rewards points that you can use towards dining, shows, and hotel rooms at over 20 MGM Resorts properties located on the Las Vegas Strip and nationwide. BetMGM Rewards is sports betting's premier loyalty program, featuring exclusive offers, incredible experiences, and valuable perks when you wager on the BetMGM app. Sign up with BetMGM or log on today to get an even bigger piece of the action with BetMGM Rewards. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. 21 years of age or older to wager, Iowa only. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-BETS-OFF.
Strength. Precision. This trophy isn't given, it must be earned. The 2022 NCAA Division III Wrestling Championships are coming to the Alliant Energy Powerhouse March 11th and 12th. Tickets are on sale now at creventslive.com. Cedar Rapids Tourism and the American Rivers Conference are proud to host the 2022 NCAA Division III Wrestling Championships March 11th and 12th at the Alliant Energy Powerhouse in Cedar Rapids. Purchase your tickets now at creventslive.com.
And 527, welcome back in. Todd Bromelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn continuing on here in the 5 o'clock hour. It's Drive Time, brought to you by Linder Tire and LinderTire.com. Right on their reputation for great savings and service by making your next appointment online at LinderTire.com. Big thank you to Chad Lystico of the Des Moines Register for joining us here in the 5 o'clock hour. Former Cyclone Mark Lillibridge from the Draft Combine in Indianapolis kicking off the program today in the 4 o'clock hour, and former KCRG evening anchor Chris Earle calling in for an impromptu goodbye to Eastern Iowa as he makes his way to Fort Myers, Florida. 319-366-1600, the number to reach us at here on the southwest side of Cedar Rapids as we get ready to head home for the weekend. Can't do that before we bring the folks Love It or Leave It.
Number one.
Alex, you've been waiting to talk about this in depth for about 90 minutes or so. The time is now. The small ball lineup is special.
Yeah, I love this. Look, right now, Fran McCaffrey and the Iowa Hawkeyes, he's coaching with a lot of confidence. Team's playing with a lot of confidence. And there's a lot of depth on this team. There's some defensive ability, and there's versatility. Now, early in the season, the concern was who's going to score outside of Keegan Murray. Now, you're looking each and every night, there's somebody different stepping up to the plate with that ability. But when push comes to shove, Iowa, when they get in the NCAA tournament, and they will be in the NCAA tournament, and they're trying to get to their first Sweet 16 since 1999. The lineup that has the ability to get them there includes Keegan Murray and Chris Murray on the court at the same time. Right, just think about how much of a nightmare of a matchup that is. A lot of Big Ten teams especially, and we'll see if it takes place against Illinois. I think it would work very effectively against the Illini. A lot of teams play multiple bigs. How would you like Coleman Hawkins of Illinois, if you're Coleman Hawkins of Illinois, or Kofi Coburn, to have to chase those two around with Chris Murray at the five and Keegan Murray really at times as the lead guard, but especially coming out of the post sometimes he can post you up, he can go mid post, and he can run you out beyond the 3-point line. And Chris Murray is the wrinkle that is going to make Iowa incredibly brutal to try to defend and to try to get a scout on for NCAA tournament teams that only have a day to prepare for you. Chad Lystico, you just heard him say it. If you miss his interview, you can listen to our podcast. It'll be available at kgymradio.com following the show. In important moments, those two are on the court at the same time. And if that is the case, this team is going to be a tough out and does have a chance to make their first Sweet 16 since 1999. Love this.
Number two.
Well, let's get right into it, Todd. This Iowa team can break its Sweet 16 spell.
I love this, and I am becoming more and more convinced with each passing day. I thought Iowa maybe had a shot at winning one of its last two games here between Illinois and Michigan. They may still lose Sunday in Champaign. Again, it's just not a place that they've played very well, but to go on the road last night to do what they did in Ann Arbor. I certainly wasn't expecting it. I don't think you were expecting it. The Hawkeyes demolished the Wolverines. They can beat Illinois, and they can beat any team in the Big Ten tournament, especially if they do wind up in that 4-5 seeding range. Six isn't necessarily ideal, but you're all on the same side of the bracket there. This team is playing good basketball. You heard Fran McCaffrey earlier, not only on this program, but Spencer on Sports, talking about how anybody on any given night is stepping up and making plays for this team. They have something that Iowa's last Sweet 16 team did not, and that is an NBA-caliber bona fide superstar in Keegan Murray, superstar college player. I think Keegan's going to be very good at the role that he will fill in the NBA, but he is a superstar college player. Chris Murray is blossoming. Like you just said, Alex, put those guys together on the floor more, and I think you're going to see even more success. Iowa just seems to have this special blend of guys that are all coming together, complementing one another. There aren't a ton of guys on this roster that are standout individual players, but they're a bunch of good college basketball players, and you throw in Keegan Murray into the mix, and yeah, you can make the argument whether or not a year from now we're talking about his brother Chris in similar terms. I am going on record. I think Iowa is going to make it to the Sweet 16. Now, of course, there are a lot of things that can happen between now and the NCAA tournament. The key being one thing that Chad Lystico mentioned. Iowa's struggles this year came when Keegan Murray wasn't completely healthy. If something happens to Keegan Murray between now and the start of the NCAA tournament, then I reserve the right to have a parachute out of that prediction. But if Keegan Murray's healthy and this team is healthy, barring a bad draw, and like Chad said, they could go up against a team in the NCAA tournament that has an outstanding big. But if you avoid that and you get any other team, Iowa's capable of beating them. They are capable of winning two games and playing into the second week in the tournament for the first time since 1999. I am becoming increasingly more convinced of that. I don't care what happens Sunday. I don't care what happens at the Big Ten tournament. This team is capable of being a Sweet 16 team. And if you would have told me that at the beginning of the season, I would have said, you're putting words into my mouth. You're absolutely crazy. But that's where this team, and they've earned it. They've earned it, and they've battled for everything that they've got to this point. And I'm far from the only person that didn't have faith in this Iowa team. But I think Connor McCaffrey is the one who said it a couple days ago. Outside the locker room, they knew hardly anybody had faith in them, but it doesn't matter. All that matters is the guys inside the locker room and how they felt about their team this year. This is a pleasant surprise. Season's not over yet. They can still let you down. But man, this has been a fun ride with the Iowa basketball program, and I don't think it's over yet. And I think they're going to be able to finally get over the hump and cross off one of those final remaining boxes that they have not been able to do since 1999. And I think Fran McCaffrey is going to lead a team to the Sweet 16 for the first time as Iowa's head coach. Love it.
Number three.
Short arms equal long-term success.
Yes, Todd, a lot was made about Tyler Linderbaum at the combine, measured in at 6'2", 295 pounds, and I think only 31 1/8 inch arms. Now, you saw some people saying, well, maybe he profiles more as a Garrett Bradbury type prospect, and you saw a lot of other people saying, I don't care. Here's where things probably fall. And this is an educated guess based on how a lot of NFL scouts react. There was some top 10 hype around Tyler Linderbaum's name. Probably doesn't get drafted in the top 10. And the Giants and the Jets will say, do we really want to draft an interior lineman in the top 10, especially one with short arms? That's a good thing, because you don't want him going to either of those teams because they have an absolutely terrible track record of developing offensive linemen, especially the New York Giants. The Jets, they have a good core there. Maybe he would fit in. Maybe that would be a good fit. But there are better fits. The Philadelphia Eagles at 15, I think, would jump at the chance to draft their future center. And he gets to take over for a guy that he gets compared to all the time. Another quote unquote undersized short arm center, and who's very athletic, and Jason Kelce, who is going to be seeing his face enshrined in Canton in 5 or 6 years. And then if the Eagles pass on him for some reason, watch Arizona trying to trade up for him. Watch the Dallas Cowboys trying to trade up for him. Here's my point. You would much rather go to the Philadelphia Eagles, the Dallas Cowboys, or the Arizona Cardinals than you would the New York Giants. And Tristan Wirfs was in this spot a couple of years ago, where we saw Mekhi Becton out of Louisville go to the Jets. We saw Jedrick Wills go to the Browns, and Andrew Thomas to the Giants. And Tristan Wirfs fell exactly where he needed to. A good situation with obviously a legendary quarterback, a good offensive line coach, and a plug-and-play spot at right tackle. For Tyler Linderbaum, let's reverse it a little bit. Good offensive line coach, a good offensive coordinator, and a good quarterback and a plug-and-play center spot. That's where I hope he goes, because if he does, he may be the type that could be a Pro Bowler in his first couple seasons in the NFL. Love it.
Number four.
Silly season.
We're on the same wavelength today, because this has to do with the NFL Combine as well. There are a couple silly seasons in the sports world. This is one of them. It's where we latch on to these stories like Tyler Linderbaum's short reach, Kenny Pickett's tiny hands, David Bell's 40 time. It's silly. All of this is silly. These guys are football players. Watch Tyler Linderbaum's film from his years at Iowa. Watch him destroy defensive linemen. He's a football player. Tristan Wirfs, remember? Questions about Tristan Wirfs' athleticism and whether or not it would translate to success at the next level. He's outperformed all the offensive linemen that were taken ahead of him. And if you redid that draft, I guarantee you Tristan Wirfs goes higher than where he did to Tampa Bay. It's silly season. This is ridiculous. And as I said in hour number one, it's kind of like teams and personnel are trying to convince themselves to take the guy that they know they want to take, or take a player at a position they know what they want to take. Well, David Bell ran a 4.6 240. Have you watched David Bell play college football? He's a dynamic receiver. Cooper Kupp ran a 4.6 240. You're going to kick Cooper Kupp off your team, or say you don't want Cooper Kupp on your team? Cooper Kupp of the Super Bowl champion Los Angeles Rams. David Bell's going to be a playmaker in the NFL. Anybody that watched Big Ten football over the last couple years knows that. Tyler Linderbaum, you heard Mark Lillibridge, the former Cyclone, former NFL agent, former player in the 4 o'clock hour. Tyler Linderbaum could have a Hall of Fame caliber career at the NFL. That's how good he looks on film at the center position. This is all silly. It's ridiculous. And of course, it's all to feed narratives. We got to have something to talk about at the combine. We can't just say, wow, these guys look like football players. Who cares how long Tyler Linderbaum's arms are? Watch him play. He's an NFL caliber player.
Number five.
What Fran has figured out that Kirk Ferentz hasn't.
Yes, this is an interesting topic that occurred to me today. But Kirk Ferentz, for his success over the years, what is one of the biggest criticisms that people have against him? One of the biggest criticisms is he doesn't let guys especially on the offensive side of the football, he doesn't feed his playmakers. He tries to spread things out a lot and get the ball into the hands of 5 or 6 different players, as opposed to getting the ball to your best players over and over and over again. And what has Fran McCaffrey, which he's always kind of had, but especially he's honed in on it the last couple of years, he's let his stars be stars. He's let them eat. They have had a top 5 scorer in the country the last 2 years. They had what he realized was having those types of accolades around Luka Garza, getting Keegan Murray to be one of your top draft prospects does so much for you on the recruiting trail. And when you build a system like the one that he has right now, which is you heard him talking about it a little bit earlier, where he doesn't micromanage his players and their shot selection and their play. You build that, they will come, especially big time, and maybe not big time recruits, because it's difficult in college basketball to get those away from the Dukes, the Kentuckys, and the other programs around the country. But you have seen a clear change in the recruiting style to where this team right now have players that are not only good on the offensive end of the court, but they have mixed in some guys that have the length and athleticism defensively to get this team to where they want to go. So the versatility of these guys, the free-flowing nature of the way that they play, it all seems to be coming together when you see Luka Garza be able to be a superstar and Keegan Murray allowed to get his, because Fran has known and has definitely figured out over the last couple of years, it's very important to, if you have a great player, let him be as great as he can be. And that's what he's done. Love it.
Number six.
MLB's Frugal Four.
Yeah, we found out recently that it was four owners who basically balked at agreeing to the proposal that would be put in front of the players' union. And so it's four owners who are essentially the fly in the ointment here. They're holding up negotiations between MLB and the Players Association. And the longer that this drags on, the more likely that we'll see more cancellations of regular season games. We've already lost the first two series, of the season. Well, if you saw the list of four teams that apparently are saying no to this deal, one of them stood out to me. It's the Los Angeles Angels and Artie Moreno, who is a billionaire, who has a team that, even though they're technically in Anaheim and it's not Los Angeles, Los Angeles is the second biggest media market in the country. You've got a billionaire owner in the second largest market. Why are they fighting tooth and nail? Why is Artie Moreno acting as if some of the things that they're going to have to give the players in this latest round of negotiations backbreaking? I don't understand. I get teams like the Cincinnati Reds, and by the way, there's a movement underway. Reds fans are trying to get a petition started to get the owner of the team to sell the team because they're tired of dealing with him. I understand the quote-unquote small markets, which, by the way, there is no such thing as a small market professional sports team. They are all major markets. They are all worth millions, if not billions of dollars, as the case of an MLB team. But that's what it boils down to right now, is it's not 30 owners, it's four. It's a very small minority of the owners that apparently are holding things up here. And if you're one of the other 26 owners, you've got to be absolutely furious, because it's abundantly clear you're losing the PR battle. The players are winning it. They came out today with a fund that's going to help support stadium workers. Completely caught the owners off guard. The owners put out a statement. Oh, we're working on something too. The players are paying the owners' employees, the guys who sell you hot dogs and beer at Wrigley Field. How messed up is that? I absolutely hate this. The fact that there's four teams owned by billionaires that are keeping us from baseball this year. And quite frankly, they need to get this thing figured out, because they're already doing irreparable damage to the sport. The longer this goes on, the easier it is to even forget that it exists.
Number seven.
They have a shot.
Yeah, Iowa going into Champaign on Sunday. I was going to draw a big conclusion about Iowa's chances on Sunday against Illinois based on how they played last night, because the spot that they were in, a revenge factor, the motivation factor of a top four seed in the Big Ten tournament on the line to continue to improve their seed in the NCAA tournament. And they responded. They've been in postseason mode for a couple weeks now, and they were incredibly impressive last night in Ann Arbor. It's going to be much more difficult for Iowa to go into Illinois and beat the Illini, but they absolutely do have a shot. I think we're going to see another classic Iowa-Illinois game. I think this one will come down to the wire, and you're going to see, I don't know about Illinois, but you will see Iowa's best effort in Champaign, and it has to do once again with the spot that they're in with a winner. If they win this game, they will be get a double bye, and they may be looking at as high as a 5 seed, as you heard Chad say, in the NCAA tournament. A lot is on the line. These teams are two completely different basketball teams. And the last time that they played, when Iowa got out rebounded by more than 24 and only lost by 4, this game could be a lot different than the last time around, and the Hawkeyes do have a chance to beat the Illini.
Give you a quick update on the Big Ten tournament. Iowa and Northwestern underway in Indianapolis, about 2 minutes left in the first quarter, and Northwestern with a 12-8 lead on the Hawkeyes. Still a lot of basketball left to be played.
Number 8.
Coach K's last ride.
I am going to love this. Coach Mike Krzyzewski is getting ready to coach his final regular season game this weekend after 42 years at the helm of the Duke Blue Devils. He's a Hall of Famer through and through. Guy has won. He's got an opportunity to win this year in the NCAA tournament. I really think Duke is capable of being a team that makes an Elite Eight run or deeper. But one thing that stands out to me about Coach K's final game this weekend, how much money it's going to cost to get in the building. Cameron Indoor Stadium is not exactly one of the bigger arenas in the country. Duke alumni have very deep pockets. And I got to tell you, if I had season tickets to Duke basketball and I needed the money, I would definitely consider selling my tickets right now. Alex, would you believe that it is going to cost more to get into the Duke game this weekend at Cameron Indoor than it would cost to get into the Super Bowl in February?
Hard to believe, but yes, I actually do believe
the
that.
The cheapest ticket to last month's Super Bowl, according to StubHub and USA Today, was around $3,000. The seats right now are going for $4,700 in the upper deck of Cameron Indoor Stadium. By the time you tack fees and everything else associated with using a third-party ticket vendor, $5,800 plus a ticket. Now, there are some scattered singles that are available slightly cheaper in the neighborhood of $4,300, but it costs more to get into Coach K's final game than it did to the Super Bowl last month. That's the aspect of this that I'm going to leave. He's got some basketball left to be played, by the way, including, as you heard Chad Lystico say, how much fun would it be if Iowa got to Chicago and that regional? Well, rumor has it that Duke would like to be in the Midwest regional, as Coach K is a Chicago native. Could we see the Hawkeyes and Blue Devils meeting in one of Coach K's final games? I guess we'll have to stay tuned to find out.
Number 9.
Alex, you're ending on part 3.
Yeah, I love this. I'll make it quick. You and I and Loyola tomorrow at the Enterprise Center in downtown St. Louis, and there's a lot on the line. We've discussed the fact that Loyola is at least dreaming of an automatic bid if they don't win the Missouri Valley Tournament. But with them falling all the way to the 4 seed, if they lose in the semifinals to UNI, it is absolutely not a guarantee that they get into the NCAA tournament. In fact, Joe Lenardi has them at this moment as one of the first 4 out of the tournament. So the Panthers trying to extend their chances of getting to the NCAA tournament, although they're guaranteed an NIT appearance, and Loyola trying to fight another day to take on what I think will either be Drake or Missouri State in the championship game. But one of my favorite things as a kid was going to the Enterprise Center and on a Saturday to watch the semifinals. You got the two best games of the weekend in that session, and I will be parked in front of my TV watching very closely tomorrow afternoon. Love it.
Number 10.
Suns.
I love this. It has nothing to do with the Phoenix Suns, who've run into a little problem here with the Chris Paul injury and Devin Booker going into the health and safety protocols. I'm talking about SONS. I was unaware of this today when I dropped my little boy off at school, but it's National Suns Day today. Alex, you and I are both sons. What do we get anything today? Am I supposed to get anything for my son today? How do we celebrate National Suns Day? But I'm going to love this because any day that is sort of about me, I'm going to embrace. My birthday, National Suns Day, Father's Day. Not that I did any of the work to become a son. That was all on my mother. But good reminder to maybe call mom tonight when I get home and check in with her. National Suns Day, just in case you parents out there were not aware. 5:52, we'll take a brief one-minute respite when we come back. Hard to believe we're wrapping up another week of programming here on KGYM, but we still got plenty to look forward to this weekend. We'll set the table for you next.
Save big money and get 11% off everything at Menards. Honeywell thermostats keep your home's temperature comfortable through every season while saving on your heating and cooling bill. Menards has a great selection of programmable and Wi-Fi units to control with your phone or tablet. Save 11% on all Honeywell thermostats. Get 11% off everything now at Menards. Good through March 5th. Savings are mail-in rebate. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Save big money at Menards.
Emil's Hideaway is open. Stop in for a drink with your buddies for dine-in or carry-out food and drinks. Open daily at 4. Delivery is available at emilshideaway.com. Emil's Hideaway, a great place to meet up with friends.
You could win $500 in the I'm on Communications KGYM Bracket Challenge. Get details now at kgymradio.com. I'm on Communications, your local choice for internet, cable TV, and phone.
It is 17-14 after one quarter of play in Indianapolis at the Big Ten Women's Basketball Tournament. The Hawkeyes find themselves trailing Northwestern. Monica Zanano had 8 of Iowa's 14 first quarter points. Caitlin Clark struggling to get things going early on, just 2 points on 1 of 4 shooting. And as you and I mentioned, Alex, bad matchup with Northwestern. They play a really unique style of defense, and they gave Iowa fits earlier this season during the regular season when they split their regular season series. Still lots of basketball left to be played, but Lisa Bluter and the Hawkeyes are going to have to fight through it.
Yeah, and we've seen this from them, that a little bit of a slow start has, not a slow start, but even in their big victories, they've been down or tied in the first half, and they surge late third quarter into the fourth quarter. So a competitive start to this game. Northwestern, we knew, was not going to just roll over and be intimidated by this Iowa team. And looks like we're in for some good basketball tonight.
Well, we're certainly in for good basketball this weekend as well. Iowa State closing out its regular season with Baylor before heading to Kansas City for the Big 12 tournament. Iowa goes to Champaign to take on the Fighting Illini. As a matter of fact, if you haven't voted yet in our poll question, you can still do so. Does Iowa win in Champaign on Sunday? Yes or no? Poll question sponsored by Hawkeye Title and Settlement of Iowa City. And of course, as you mentioned, Alex, Arch Madness going on in St. Louis. We still got you and I and Drake alive as we get ready to sign off here. I'm going to ask you this. Who do you think ultimately winds up cutting down the nets in St. Louis on Sunday?
All right. You're welcome, UNI fans. I'm doing a little reverse psychology here. No, I think the favorite wins. I'll take the Loyola Ramblers to get the job done, but I would not surprise me to see any of those top four seeds. There's a huge gulf between really the top four and anybody else in that conference, and I think we're going to see two really tight ball games. But give me Loyola to face Missouri State tomorrow. So Drake and UNI fans hate me now.
Missouri State, the number 2 seed, getting ready to tip off against Valparaiso. That game is just about to get underway, and then you've got Drake in the nightcap there in Arch Madness. Women's basketball, we mentioned the women's Big Ten tournament underway, 22-17. Northwestern continuing to lead the Hawkeyes now with about 7.5 minutes remaining before halftime. We will reconvene on Monday. We will recap everything that happened this weekend, and at that time Monday, we will get you looking forward to Big Ten basketball. The men's tournament will be getting underway next week. We kick things off with local programming at 2 o'clock now instead of 3 o'clock. It's Spencer on Sports. Spencer going to once again be pulling double duty next week, filling in on the gym class for Scott Unash. And then after Spencer and Mark are done between 3 and 4, Alex and I will be back on the airwaves from 4 until 6. We'll check in with John Walters, play-by-play voice of the Iowa State Cyclones, ahead of the Big 12 tournament in Kansas City. It's a great time of year. Postseason basketball is upon us. Enjoy the weekend. And again, for those of you looking for something to do on Sunday, check out my Twitter feed. The Mount Mercy Baseball Leadoff Dinner is Sunday night at Vito's on 42nd Street. I think it starts around 6 o'clock. They've got some great silent and live auction items. It's not terribly expensive to attend. It's a great way to support the Mount Mercy Baseball program. Iowa falling, speaking of baseball, to Wichita State earlier today. Hawkeyes still have some games left to play this weekend as well at the Frisco Classic. Have a great weekend. If you missed anything from today's show, you can check out our podcast at kgymradio.com. Mark Lillibridge, Chris Earl, and Chad Lystico are guests today on the Todd Brolecamp Show with Alex Kuhn. That's going to do it. We'll be back here Monday, same frequencies, 4 until 6. Talk to you then.
Experience valuable in Vegas.